and a great big welcome to another edition of the Gospel Express radio broadcast, coming to you from beautiful Spanish Wells in the Bahama Islands. I am your host, Luton Neely, inviting you to stay tuned to today's broadcast, as the next 30 minutes could be the most spiritually rewarding of your entire life.
Thank you.
welcome again to another edition of Special Feature. It's my pleasure again today to have with me here in the studio Evangelist Rod Sharp. And I'm sure that you've been blessed during the past several weeks as Rod has proclaimed the Word of God in all of its power and all of its simplicity. And we trust it has been profound, and we trust that it has challenged many hearts. And Rod has been encouraging our hearts as he has recalled some of the early years of his life back in Scotland. And then he's coming to the Bahamas, and he is being involved in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel here in the Bahamas. But, Rod, your ministry at the Bahamas ended at one point, and you moved on to take up, shall I say, a post in North Carolina?
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us about that?
Yes, it was after my second visit to the Bahamas in 1975 that I returned home to Scotland by way of the United States. I basically went to visit a friend of mine that I had known from my Bible college days in England, and my friends had moved back to the States, and I had been invited to spend some time with them, which I did. And during my stay, I was invited to preach at a number of local churches in the Durham, North Carolina area. That led to an association with one particular church. I went back, I think, the following year, or maybe the year after, as I recall, to do a series of gospel services. And thereafter, they asked me if I might not be interested later on in perhaps working with them on a more long-term basis. I said, "What do you have in mind?" And they said, "Well, what about a year?" And so, of course, because I was traveling, I had to clear my calendar. And the beginning of 1979, I moved to North Carolina to spend a year with one particular church. It was during that year, in the summer of that year, that I went to preach and teach at a Bible camp, a youth camp in the mountains of North Carolina, and I met there the young lady who is now my wife. The folks in Durham, North Carolina, knowing that we were planning to get married, said, "Well, you're going to have to settle down somewhere. Why not make it here?" And so we did. So we got married in 1980, and for the last 10 years, we've been living and serving in Durham, North Carolina.
Well, Rod, I guess a lot of young ladies in the Bahamas who had known you thought that you would never settle down. Now, I must clarify that settling down. You were a very settled young man, but in the sense of getting married and having a family. And that did happen, and I guess it took me by surprise some. Mm-hmm. But I've lived in your home, I've met your wife, and then there was one daughter, Erin, right?
That's right.
Erin is how old now?
She's seven now.
Seven, going to
mm-hmm.
school then.
In first grade.
Mm-hmm. Erin, the one that you talked about this week, who professed faith a few days ago in Christ?
That's right. She, I got a phone call just last week from my wife, and we had a dear friend who, 70 years of age, had gone to be with the Lord. And Erin was concerned that this dear friend had gone to heaven, which, of course, we assured her that he had. And then she expressed herself by saying that she wasn't really sure that she was going to heaven, but she would like to make sure. And so my wife had the joy of sitting down with her and making sure. So my seven-year-old daughter came to know Christ as a Savior this past week.
And so you have no problem with a seven-year-old making a profession of faith? There are lots of people who put age limit on when a person can be saved. In fact, I was preaching in Missouri just this past week, and I made a point of that I do not know when the age of accountability is, when a person is accountable to God and has to make that decision, and God will hold them from that point on if they should leave this life. What are your views on that?
Well, I certainly do not discount the reality of a childhood conversion. I think if we were to do a census among an average group of Christians, we would find probably many of them who came to acknowledge Christ as Savior at an early age, 6, 7, 8, 9 years mm-hmm. of age, something of that nature. But I do believe this, that when a young person enters their teens, they have to come to terms with that early decision and go ahead and live it out in a practical way. I certainly don't doubt that young people can be saved and are saved. I wouldn't be involved in children's evangelism if I didn't believe that. But I do believe that the critical time is when a young person is entering into their teens and really needs to crown that initial conversion experience with a real commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, a desire to take a stand for him in the early teenage years.
So you're saying there needs to be a re-evaluation at that point, a re-examination?
I think so. I think it's always good to look at our spiritual life, to see where we're going, to see what we plan to do with it.
Yes.
And in the young teens, the young teen years, I think this needs to be done.
Well, Rod, our time is gone again today. It just runs by so quickly, and we're going to have another time together next week. And I would like to talk to you about another child that came into your family. And I think that's a special story and a story because you went outside of the United States to get this child and all that was involved in it. Folk, you will want to hear this next week. And remember, stay tuned. In a few minutes, Rod Sharp, the man that you've been hearing talking, he's going to bless your heart with God's word again.
Gentlemen, another big warm welcome to you. This is Luton Neely, your host, and it's my delight to welcome you on board the Gospel Express. And I trust that today's ride will be a very pleasant one. I trust that you are in the gospel ship and that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. It's so important to know Him. To know Him in this life means peace and means happiness and means joy in your heart and purposeful living. And to know Him as your Savior and Lord for eternity means that in heaven there's a place prepared for you. There are so many people who have no hope in this world. We thank God that He bids us to come to Him at any time and to present to Him our needs. And I know there are many of you who wait for this time of the day when we can come to our Heavenly Father. We thank You, whether it's in the evening time or whether it's in the morning time, when some of you are just awaking, or at night time when you're just going to bed. We trust that You value these moments when through special music and through the ministry of God's Word and through special testimony, we seek to present Jesus Christ. We trust a challenge to You, and we trust that also it is that which will encourage your heart. We want to invite you right now to come with us to the throne room of grace. Heavenly Father, we bless Thee today for a throne room of grace. We thank Thee for Thy mercy. We thank Thee that Thy word says, because of Thy mercy, we're not consumed. Oh, we bless Thee today for Jesus Christ, who loved us so much to come into this world and die for us. Father, we don't know what faces each of us in the days that lie ahead of us, but we do know, our Father, that You hold the future. We pray that as we move about today, as we move about tomorrow, we pray that we might be conscious of Your presence. Bless Your word. Bless the testimonies. Speak to many hearts. Touch lives, our Father, those who are hurting so much. We pray Your blessing and that they'll know Your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We've been looking at some of the parables that our Lord Jesus taught. One week we looked at the parable of the foundations, the builders who built on the rock and on the sand. That taught us the need for a good, solid foundation in life. And then we looked at the way in which different people respond to the Word of God, the parable of the sower, and the different kinds of soils that the seed fell upon. Today I want to think of a parable on values. Here's the question. What are you worth? How much are you worth? Of course, there are many answers to that. Some of us would simply say, well, I don't know. I read something recently concerning the value of a life, or at least the value of a body. I discovered that there's enough iron in your body to make a medium-sized nail, enough sugar to fill a small sugar bowl, enough phosphorus to make a book of matches, enough lime to whitewash a chicken coop, and enough sulfur to rid a dog of fleas. And the collection is worth around $4 or $5. Somebody says, well, I'm worth far, far more than that. And of course, there are different ways of looking at the value of our life. Perhaps some of us, after we have graduated from high school, will go off to college and get all kinds of degrees after our name, and in a top professional job might be earning $100,000 or several hundred thousand dollars a year. Well, that may be true. Is that the worth, the value of your life? Or is there something more? Is there something deeper? And I'm perfectly sure that you'd come to the conclusion that your life cannot be valued merely in terms of money. Remember, many, many years ago on vacation one summer, a young man was obviously having difficulties out in the ocean, and I swam in and was able to pull him to the shore, and he was most grateful for what I had done and told me that I had saved his life. Well, I didn't feel that I had done anything particularly significant, but I was glad that he was aware of the value of his life. Now, what is the value of our life? How much are we really worth? Well, I think we need to realize, first and foremost, that we can never value our lives in material terms. The value of our life is seen in spiritual terms. I want to suggest that we have three claims to value, and only three claims to value. Here's your first claim to value. Number one, God made you. Second, God loves you. And third, Jesus died for you and gave the value of his life for you. Now, the parable that I want us to look at is simply a parable that teaches us about values. It's found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. It's only in a couple of verses. And it says this: the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And I wonder what this parable is all about. Is it teaching that as we go out and find the good things of life, we find that it's worthwhile searching for that which is of great price? Well, it may well be. And indeed, it would certainly be true that when we find the Lord Jesus Christ, we find a pearl of great price. But I want to suggest to you that that is not the best interpretation of that parable, simply because I think that we are not to be seen as the merchant looking out and going out for a pearl, but rather he, the Lord Jesus, should be seen as the merchant, and we as being the pearl of great price. And according to the parable, here's a man, a collector, who one day finds something that is so valuable that he sells the rest of his collection that he might obtain this supreme object of great value. And I believe that that teaches us how the Lord Jesus Christ, although he owned heaven and everything that was in heaven, was willing to give that up and come down to this world and was willing to give his life upon a cross because he saw your life and mine of being of such great value. You see, the pearl is very instructive in and of itself. The pearl is something which is produced because of pain and suffering. I'm perfectly sure you're familiar with how when a little bit of impurity gets inside the shell of an oyster, that oyster begins to protect itself by laying down layers of mother of pearl around that little thing that was irritating it. And from that irritation and from that imperfection, there is produced the beautiful pearl. See, a pearl is one of the few things that are precious that are produced from a living organism. The diamond is not produced in that way. The ruby, the emerald, are not produced in that way. The thing about other precious stones is this. To reveal their beauty, they must be cut and they must be polished. Whereas the pearl is spoiled if it is worked upon with tools. And I think that reminds us of what we're thinking of in our parable today concerning values. You see, the value of the Church of Jesus Christ, composed of all true believers in Him, and the value of the individual life is intrinsic to its very nature. It does not depend upon man working upon it. Indeed, our salvation is never the result of human effort and human works, but totally because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And so as we look at this wonderful parable, as we look at this pearl of great price, we see our Lord Jesus Christ leaving heaven. We see Him relinquishing all the worth of heaven for that period of time when He walked across the face of this earth. He came to this world to win that pearl, to gain that pearl of great price. That pearl is the Church, and it includes you and it includes me if we are trusting the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation. You see, the Word of God tells us that we can try and gain the whole world and the value of the whole world. But even if we do that and lose the true value of our life, we have not gained anything. In fact, we have lost something infinitely valuable. You say, well, how can a person gain the whole world? Well, the question is, what is your world? Is it the world of sport? Is it the world of entertainment? Is it the world of education? Listen, even if you get to the very top of your chosen career and you've lost the true value of your life, what have you gained? Absolutely nothing. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us that if we try to hang on to our lives, we gain nothing. But if somehow we can learn to give away our lives, then we have gained everything. That sounds like a paradox, isn't it? Giving it away and then gaining it? Well, that's how the Lord Jesus sees it. It was Jim Elliot, the missionary, who put it this way. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And if we would give away our lives to the Lord Jesus and the true value of our life to Him, then we will gain something infinitely more valuable. Because Jim Elliot lost his life. He was martyred in an Ecuadorian jungle when a native spear was pierced through him. Had he lost his life? No. Because as a young man, he'd given the true value of his life to the Lord Jesus. He'd surrendered all that he was and all that he had to Him. And when indeed the native spear took his life, he gained something infinitely more valuable as he was transported directly into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thinking today of spiritual things. We're thinking of spiritual values, and these can only be found when we surrender our heart and our life to the Lord Jesus, trusting Him as our Savior, thanking Him for what He gave up when he left heaven, came to this world, and died on the cross for us. And if we would gain the true value of our life, it will only be found in losing our lives to him and in him. Will you trust him? Will you receive him as your Savior? And let him be your Lord and Master today. May God bless you.
Just before we conclude today's broadcast, let me talk to you for a few moments concerning your response to today's message. You have been confronted with the real issues of life, knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now you must make a choice. If you choose to receive Jesus Christ, you will have life eternal. If you choose to reject Jesus Christ, you choose death and darkness. I beg you to receive Jesus Christ. Invite him into your heart. Do it right now. You'll never regret it. Then would you write and share it with us? Our mailing address is The Gospel Express, Post Office Box 9, Spanish Wells, Bahamas. To our listeners in the Northern Bahamas, would you write to Post Office Box F2477, Freeport, Grand Bahama. And until next time, when we will be coming your way again with another unique broadcast, this is your host, Evangelist Luton Neely, speaking for the entire Gospel Express team, saying goodbye, and may his peace be yours.